What's going on, Transformation Church? Natalie and I wanted to tell you, from our family to yours, happy resurrection.
Happy res.
Why do you continue to abbreviate everything?
I like it.
That's just a new thing she's doing. But we just wanted to let you know that we are praying for you.
Yeah, we want to thank you. Thank you for sticking with us. Thank you for sharing and liking and being on Instagram
and watching YouTube.
Watching your crazy lives and all that other stuff.
Man, we
tithing, giving.
Yeah, man, y'all so are consistent. The best. And you've been consistent. And we are just getting started. Because of your faithfulness, because of what God's doing in this moment, we are strengthening this movement. And we just want to let you know that your best days are right in front of you. Stay plugged in, stay planted. Where you are faithful, God will make you fruitful. And we believe that this is just going to be a testimony of God's faithfulness through the pandemic. With everybody else stressing and worrying, we know that God is going to protect us. And today, I want to preach a message to you that tells you what to do when you're in the middle. I know some of y'all are feeling very stressed out and very just unsure of what's to come. But I know that our God has a plan for all of this. So I want you to enjoy this message. We love you, and we cannot wait to see you and hug you again. All right? Peace.
Resurrection. I said happy Resurrection Sunday. Hey, I am so excited for what God is about to do for everybody that is watching. They just told me there's over 50,000 people right now just on one platform watching. There are families gathered right now. There are people in hospitals. There are first responders. There are people right now that are watching alone and people watching with a group of people. I want to say welcome to the biggest church service you've ever been to in your entire life. The kingdom of God is an expanding. And I know this is a completely different way of doing this amazing moment of Easter, but I want to let you know that God uses everything. He's the only one that tells you that I'll take all the mess ups, I'll take all the mistakes, I'll take all the inconveniences, and I'll turn them into a masterpiece. So today, as you are watching here with your family, I'm gassed up because this is the Super Bowl of our Christian faith, where we celebrate not just the death, not just the burial, but the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. I dare somebody to say he lives. Come on, out of your mouth, just say he lives. I'm looking at y'all right now in the chat. Come on, somebody say he lives. And that's why we celebrate today. And I'm so grateful. If you're wondering, who is this black dude with a purple Barney suit on? This is called Purple Rain. with this suit on yelling at me, it's a dude who was broken, lost, jacked up, addicted to all kinds of things. And because of what I'm about to tell you about today, the love of Jesus, it transformed my life. And today, with everything that's in me, with every fiber that I have going through technology, I'm about to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't want to sugarcoat it. I don't want to act like I'm going to preach something else and come with a nice little hook at the end. No. Today, my whole goal, I don't care what you did last night, what you did today, what you're planning on doing tomorrow. My whole goal is in this moment that you would find the cure for everything that humanity has been looking for. And his name is Jesus. And today I feel the presence of God because I'm in a big room by myself preaching to you. But that's how intentional God is. He cares about the details of your life. And today I'm just grateful that you gave us an opportunity to present the truth to you. I love you. Because there's somebody that's right here right now that's just like, I don't feel comfortable. I want you to know I love you and God loves you. And right now, God's coming to turn situations around. People who have lost jobs this week, God's coming to turn those situations around. People that have been hurting and needing hope, I'm telling you right now that God is coming to turn that situation around. Somebody just say, God's turning it around. Come on, say it one more time. God's turning it around. And today, I'm about to show you how to get out of the place and the spot that you've been in. And for all of us, the spot and the place is not the same. But the God who's with us in that spot and the place is the same. And today, I want us to figure out what we do in the middle. See, because the truth is, this is one of the craziest moments in human history, if we be honest. This doesn't account for what happened at the cross, but outside of the cross, I think this may be the craziest moment in church history, that there is nobody meeting in buildings today, and God has shut down everything to bring a word to you in the place where you're most comfortable. Wherever you're most comfortable, you're at that place right now, and he's trying to open your heart, whether it's in your home, whether it's in your bed. He is opening your heart right now, and he said, can I tell you a message in the most comfortable place you've ever heard it? And when I think about what God wants to do today, he told me, Michael, my people, the ones who've been with me or the ones who are just coming to me or the ones that have been running from me. He said, everybody is stuck in the middle. And at this moment, as we're sitting at home right now because of COVID-19, and some of us have lost jobs and things have been maneuvering, I came to give a message of hope today, that God has something specific and exact that he wants to tell you, and he wants you to get out of the place that has had you stuck. Because even in this moment right now, as we're standing in history, it doesn't feel like history because it's our reality. If we talk about it, all the moments that are great in the world, it's like, oh, you are a part of history. No. I was a part of my reality. And my reality right now for many of us is not good. The reality for many of us is unsure. The reality for many of us is not knowing what's to come. But I came to tell you that God is not just standing in your reality. He's standing in eternity. And he's looking down at your situation. He's looking at your pain. He's looking at your family, and he's saying, I got it. I'm Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning and the end, but I still care about you in the middle. So today, that's the title of the message I just want to share with you for the next few minutes, the middle. Because I really believe that if we don't take this Easter story from a perspective of a historical perspective, like all the time we look at this story and it's like, oh yeah, that was crazy what happened in history. I want for you today to act like this is something that really happened, like it was your reality, like you were one of the disciples, like you were walking with Jesus for all of those years and he just got crucified. And if we take it from reality, maybe we'll be able to understand some situations that can apply to our life right here in 2020, where many of us are stuck in the middle. I want you to think about walking with Jesus, giving up everything that you had, leaving your business and your family. I want you to think about being at the Last Supper, eating with Jesus, him actually saying, hey, this is my body, this is my blood. I want you to think about you watching Judas walk out the door and you knew he was about to do something and be a snitch. And you was like, I'll run over there, I'll bust Judas in his face right now. Like, I want you to think about being there in that moment. I want you to think about when they came to get Jesus, and they mocked him, and then they beat him. I want you to think about having walked with him and been around and heard all the stories and seen the miracles. Not history, come on, come into reality. Like this really happened right now. I want you to think about it. If you saw the man that you put all your time, treasure, and talent into hanging on a cross, and you thought he was gonna conquer the world, and he ends up dying right next to regular people. I want you to think of Easter in reality. No scripture. Oh, he has risen. No. They just lost who they thought was gonna save them. And now this is where we pick up the story in John chapter 19. And I want you to see something that maybe you've never seen before. It says, now this was the place of crucifixion, and it was near a garden where there was a new tomb never used before. Verse 42. And so because it was the day of preparation for the Jewish Passover, and since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. That is John chapter 19, okay? John chapter 20, the very next chapter and the very next verse. It says, early Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found the stone had been rolled away. Hallelujah. Except, hold on. The end of John 19 said it was Friday. They put him in a tomb. And then it goes to John 20 and it says early Sunday morning. Okay. Friday, I'm in a tomb. And you just skip to Sunday where he is resurrected. Let me put it a different way, because some of you are dealing with this right now. On Friday, you're dealing with reality. You're dealing with not being able to pay your bills. You're dealing with a family who is dysfunctional. You're dealing with having being molested when you were a young child and having to grow up with anger and rage in your life. Yeah, I'm coming for real stuff right now. You're dealing with the pain of not being supported. You are in reality, but then they just skip over and they say early Sunday morning and they say it's a resurrection. What in the world do I do with the middle? And that's what I came to talk to you about, because many of you want to shout this morning, but you have not gotten to the place of resurrection yet. You're still stuck in the pain. You're still in the middle of the hurt. You're still in the middle of not feeling like you'll be provided for. And so many times in church, we shout about the resurrection and we cry about the reality of the death, but we don't know how to act in the middle. I'm about to preach in this place right now, because I want to help you be able to figure out how to be able to conduct your life when you're in, everybody say, the middle. And I don't know about you, but there's some areas of my life, the pastor, the one speaking, that I'm still in the middle. But this is the thing I found out about the middle, is the middle is not for anybody else to be able to respond to. The middle is your responsibility. Write this point down. My response is more important than the reason why when you're in the middle. See, your response in the middle is more important than the reason why you're in the spot. And many times we start complaining and get frustrated because our reality is not good. And we get mad at about what happened to us, what job we didn't get. I didn't get it accepted into the school. My family doesn't support me. Everybody looks at me through the lens of my habit and not how far I've come. That's the reality of it. And we can't control the reality. We can't control the reality of COVID-19. We don't know when we're going back to work, going back to school. We can't control the reality. And we are not over the resurrection, but we can do something about our response in the middle. And somebody needs to hear me say this to you. You're not helpless. You're not hopeless. You can't dictate what happens to you, but you can dictate what you do with what happens to you. And somebody needs to know who's in the middle right now. I feel the presence of God coming in this place. The person who's in the middle right now, you need to make a decision. My response is more important than the reason why. Because so many times the enemy tries to get us distracted and trying to figure out why it happened. Why did I lose it? Why did they cheat on me? Why did I lose? Why am I hurting like this? And the enemy says, yes, great. They're going to keep going in circles in the thing that they'll never figure out. When God did not send this, but he's trying to make them in this situation and bring them to another place. And I'm encouraging you right now, no matter what you're feeling, if you're in the middle in any area of your life, in business, in relationship, in your marriage, in your heart, if you're in the middle, stop trying to figure out why you're there and start giving the right response while you're there. Romans 12 tells us, if you're in the middle, you need to rejoice in our confident hope. That's in Jesus. Be patient in trouble. That means this may last a while. That means I know that the disciples really wish it would have went from putting him in the tomb. Why didn't they just go straight to Sunday? Why did Saturday have to be there? Why did I have to go through those 24 hours of not knowing what was going to happen? Because there is a deepening of your faith in the part of your life where you are not in control. I just said a mouthful right now. You're gonna grow more in the middle. You're gonna love more in the middle. You're gonna become who God created you to be in the middle. But you have to go through the suffering of Saturday if you're gonna see the resurrection on Sunday. And so many of us don't want to face the reality, so we try to skip over Saturday. And God's saying right now, I don't know who you are, but you may have to go to counseling. You may have to be patient in this thing. Maybe in this season, it's going to take something that you never thought you would have to do to be who God's created you to be. Rejoice in our confident hope, which is Jesus. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. That's the right response, Pastor Mike. Good.
That's the churchy thing I'm supposed to do. Well, how do I really respond in the middle? Well, this is the thing I figured out about our response when we're scared, when we're fearful, when we're hurting. How we respond in the middle shows what we actually worry about. And the thing that I'm concerned with everybody who's watching right now, is a lot of us are dealing with worries we're not talking about. A lot of us are silently suffering. I know there's tons of people, I can feel you right now, you're pulling on me right now, and I'm telling you, you've been silently suffering with thoughts of suicide, you've been silently suffering with thoughts of inferiority, you've been silently suffering with hurt and pain, and God's saying is, I don't want you to worry about that anymore. I did something for you that would take away that worry. You just gotta believe in me. I didn't come so that you could have worry and have worry more abundantly. The Bible says, I came that you may have life and life more abundantly. Somebody needs to put in the chat, I will have life. Oh, I feel that thing. In the middle, even when it looks like it's dead, even when the tomb has been put in, somebody shout, I will have life. When your reality has not met up with the resurrection, you still have to speak life while it's in the tomb. And some of y'all's businesses seem like they're in the tomb. Some of your relationships seem like they're in the tomb. Some of the relationships between a father and a son and a daughter and the mother seem like they're over. But God said, I need you to speak life while it looks like it's in the tomb. And that's why Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, it says, that's why I tell you not to worry. This is Jesus talking. Don't worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink, isn't that applicable right now during Corona? Don't worry about if you have enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and drink and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. He gave us an eternal sermon illustration. Like today, if you're in a place that's not raining, I want you to go outside and I want you to listen for birds. And I want you to see that God's telling you that no matter what you're going through, I'm still providing for inanimate animals in the middle of this epidemic and this pandemic. And you don't think I would provide for you and your family and your heart? Look at it. I love the Bible. I love the Bible. It says, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store up foods in barns. They don't have 401ks. They don't have retirement plans. And he says, and they don't plant or harvest or store up foods, and your heavenly Father feeds them. Come on. I'm coming to tell somebody all the things you've been worrying about in the middle. God's saying, I got that. I'll take care of that. If you would just trust me and put your hope in me, I will take care of you in the middle. He says, and by the way, aren't you more valuable to him than they are? I came to tell you that God cares about you more than he cares about the birds out there and the flowers on the ground. He cares about you, even if you're in the middle. I feel the presence of God right now. Somebody's heart is coming back alive right now. Somebody's faith is being changed in this moment. God is saying, and why? He said, can all your worries, listen to this, add a single moment to your life? What I'm a little afraid of is that the worry is actually depleting you of the life that you do have, instead of you giving God the worry and living the life that you do have. He says, you can't add no time to your life. He said, and why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies. He gave us another example. He said, the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory, or Beyonce and Jay-Z in all their glory, or Kim and Kanye in all of their glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wild flowers that are here today and thrown away in a fire tomorrow, he will certainly care about you. The right response in the middle has to be anchored in who cares for you. I came to tell you that if you felt like nobody's cared for you, if you're in the middle thinking that you got to figure it all out by yourself to prove yourself that you're a real man or a real woman or you're a boss or you're an independent woman, God says, will you lay all those burdens down and give it to me? Because the only anchor you're going to have in the middle is that I care for you. That I was thinking about you when you wasn't thinking about me. That I've made plans and ordered your steps. And God's saying, I care for you. And some of y'all are saying, that's great, Pastor Mike. But how do I really apply that in the middle? I am so glad you asked. I like breaking things down to understand them so we can get patterns. So I want to introduce to you something that I call the method of the middle. Because if you get the method of the middle, then you'll be able to manage in the middle. And what I found, no matter if you're a CEO or you're somebody that's living on the street or in government assistance, or you're somebody who's had a lot or somebody who lives with a little, no matter what you're going through right now, the middle still has the same things happening in it. Let me prove it to you. So everybody's middle and everybody's life starts with their reality. So right now, many of us are dealing with the reality that we don't like. And can I just say to you that for every person who is struggling and you clicked on to this live feed as a last attempt to trust God, I have not slept most of this entire week listening to God for each one of the people who would tune into this message. Because God is so concerned about you. He cares so much. That's why I'm up here sweating in a purple suit with a turtleneck on in the springtime. He cares about you. And listen, whatever your reality is, you got to understand what comes after your reality. Because anytime you have a reality, then you get presented with a dilemma. And when you get in a dilemma, this is where it's very important that you make sure that you are listening to the right things. Because in the middle, when you get in a dilemma, that's where the enemy tries to come in and he tries to present deception. This is what happened all the way back in the garden with Adam and Eve. Remember, they were in the garden in a perfect place, and all they had was a dilemma that honestly was protection for them, but they saw it with the wrong perspective. And when God was saying, don't eat from this one tree, they said, why would God not let us eat from that one tree? And it became a dilemma when it was actually protection, and that's when the enemy came in with deception. Did God really say you were gonna do that? Did God really say your marriage was gonna last? Did God really say nobody really cares about you? You're too fat, you're too young, you're too this, you're too that. And when you listen to the enemy's deception, when you're in a dilemma, it will make you make the wrong decisions. And this is what happens in everybody's middle. It starts with something that is reality to you. And it's real, and it hurts, and it's frustrating. And then it turns into a dilemma that turns into deception that turns into you making a decision. Now, I don't know about you. I'm going to tell on myself. But if you are out there and you're watching this and you've made some bad decisions, could you raise a hand right now? Come on right now. If you made bad decisions, I need you to raise your hand right now. Come on, in the chat. Somebody's raising their hands and their feet. Somebody did a herky. I see you right now. You done made a whole bunch of bad decisions, okay? The reason why we have to know what happens in the middle is because anytime you make a decision, the next thing that comes after any decision is death. When you make a decision, something's gonna die. If you make the wrong decision, purpose dies. Dreams die. Relationships die. If you make the right decision, pride dies. Preference dies. Your way of doing, your plan dies. And whenever you make the right decision, a decision that lines up with God's word, the decision that seeks the kingdom, then God promises there will be deliverance. And this is what this Easter story is all about. It's about how to navigate the middle, like all of these disciples. The middle had a dilemma in it. The middle had deception in it. The middle had a decision in it. The middle had death in it. And the middle ultimately would have deliverance, and there would be a resurrection. But if only can be a resurrection if I outlast the middle. And I know there's people here like, Pastor Mike, that sounds great. But can you give me some more than that? Because I'm trying to really figure out how to make this thing happen. I love the Bible. The reason I love the Bible is because God gives us examples of real people that were around when this happened that got caught in the middle. Let's use Jesus' mom, Mary, for an example. Let me show you how this works. Mary, the mother of Jesus, her reality at this moment was honestly a reality that nobody else could understand. Because Mary's reality was her son was dead. The same way that some of our dreams have been dead, some of our business plans have been dead, the thing that we thought we were going to do was dead. And it presented a dilemma. Do you know what Mary's dilemma was? What she had to work through in the middle? Her dilemma was this went against everything that God promised her. Do y'all remember in the beginning of Luke, I believe it was, when Mary was minding her own business and Jesus popped up, not Jesus, but an angel, Gabriel, popped up on her and was like, "Hey, Mary." And she was like, "What you doing in my house?" And he was like, "Hey, I'm about to let you know that you're pregnant by the Holy Spirit. I ain't even done it with nobody." And then he was like, "Yeah, this is a miraculous conception." And she didn't, the thing I kept thinking about is she did not ask for Jesus. She was chosen to carry this. And I don't know who this is for, but there's some people right now who are going through something in the middle that you didn't even ask for. "I didn't ask to go through this. I didn't ask to start that business. You gave me the business. I didn't ask to be abused. I didn't ask to be hurt like that. I didn't ask for that." And what the enemy tries to do is come in deception like he did for Mary. And this is the thing I need you to know, that when you're in the middle, the devil was trying to convince Mary that this was the end, that God's promise wasn't going to come to pass, that her son was really dead. But I came to encourage somebody who's in the middle right now. In the middle, the promise is not void because of the pain. Somebody needs to understand that. The promise is not void because the pain is real. See, if Mary would have gotten into this place of doubt right here, she would have thought what God said to her before Jesus was born was void. But I came to tell somebody today that just because we're in the middle and it looks dead, there is more to the story. If it's not over, that means God's not done with it. That means there's more chapters to be written. And I'm telling you right now, God's trying to do a work even in the middle. I thought about it. My wife, she's the best person in the world that I know. And I thought about how many times you never need to make a decision in the heat of pain. And that's where people are right now. Somebody's about to close their business. Somebody's about to leave their family. Somebody's about to give up on the marriage. And it's the wrong time to do that because you're still in the middle. And you've listened, you've looked at the dilemma, you've listened to the deception, and now you're about to make a wrong decision. And I thought about this. My wife, we have three beautiful kids, and we've already always talked about having three or four children. And one of the things that ended up happening is that when we went in to have our first daughter, Isabella, we were trying to have her naturally. And then they came in and said something cannot happen naturally, so we're going to have to do a C-section. And I thought about this in the moment I was thinking about this. That would have been the wrong time to bring up the promise. "Hey, babe, I know you're going through the greatest pain that you've ever had right now, but do you want to have some more kids?" See, I knew she wanted to have more kids, but her vision and her perspective was blurry because she was in the middle of pain. And some of y'all are making decisions right now in the middle of the dilemma, and you've listened to the deceptions, and God's saying, "Don't make the decision now to abort the promise that I gave you. You will produce fruit. Your family will be saved. Your business will be successful. Your life will be whole." But you cannot make the wrong decision if you've listened to the lies and the deception. And the crazy thing about Mary is that she wasn't the only one in the middle. Let me go back down here. I love this. Peter, one of Jesus's disciples, he was in the middle too. Peter's reality was the only man, Jesus, who ever actually cared for him, loved him, and looked past all his faults and saw his needs, is now dead. That's his reality. And the dilemma is that Peter was a classic mess up. And I don't know about you, but your boy has messed up tons of times. Like many people that are watching right now, have you ever done something that you said that you would never do and you did it? Well, you're in good company because Peter did the same exact thing. See, Peter's dilemma was that they were at a dinner table with Jesus. And Jesus told them what was going to happen. He told them, and that's the beautiful thing about it. It's crazy that Jesus tells us in reality where we're at. He's like, hey, you're going to make it to the resurrection. There's going to be victory on the other side of it. You're going to make it. But when it's real to us, somehow that's not enough to carry us in the middle. And Peter sat with Jesus, was at the Last Supper. He even cut some dude's ears off, and he was like, don't come at my God. Peter was like a gangster. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like Peter stood like this and was like, what up, fool? And, like, the guards came to get Jesus, and he was like, shank, shank. And he shanked the dude. And Jesus was like, Peter, calm down. And he picked up the ear. He's like, my bad, bro. Put it back on. Like, because Peter was always messing up, and that guy is dead. And now he has a dilemma, because when he was sitting with Jesus, Jesus said, Peter, I know you ride for me, but when this all goes down, you're going to deny me 3 times. Jesus, don't even talk like that, fool. Don't even talk like that. Be God, you know I'm down for you. Ride or die, ride or die. And he literally said, Peter, calm down. I know the beginning from the end. You're going to deny me 3 times. He was like, don't ever test my loyalty like that on the set, on the set. And he started sea walking and everything right there. Okay? And Jesus said, we'll see. And you know what Peter's dilemma was? Is when they actually came and got Jesus, when he was arrested, Peter did what he said he'd never do. And I don't know if any of y'all can relate to that in the middle, but sometimes when you get desperate, and sometimes when you get in a spot you never thought you would be in, and sometimes when the way money was coming in is not coming in no more, and when somebody, that old girlfriend from high school, starts reaching out when you and your wife are in a disagreement, oh, I'm coming to your house right now. When you're spending most of your time on Facebook and God's trying to tell you, hey, I'm trying to do something for you right now, and you do the thing that you said you would never do. See, the problem with Peter is he now, because he did it. See, some Christians and some people all are like, I've never done anything. That ain't my testimony. I have messed up a million times. And what the enemy tries to do in this moment of deception is he tries to make you think that your worth is connected to your works. And I know that's how some of you feel. That's why some of you have never come to an actual physical location, because you know you've done some stuff that don't line up with what you really wanted to do, but you did it because you were in the middle. You were desperate. You were searching. And now people have made you feel judged. And I'm coming to tell you that the grace of God is available for you. The grace of God is here right now for every mess up, for every person who's done what they said they would never do, for every person who had the abortion, for every person that cheated on their wife, for every person that still takes medicine to go to sleep and abuses it, for every person who has lived in a sexually alternate lifestyle, for every person who has lied, cheated. See, the enemy wants you to believe that there's degrees to sin. But God said, when I saw you, I saw my passion. And I said, I was going to take the punishment so that the enemy could not deceive you another day. I feel the presence of God. That somebody has been believing, and I hear your heart beating fast and tears are flowing down some people's face right now because you've believed the lie that you're only worth it if your works are good. And Peter had to make a decision. In the middle of what he was going through, Peter had to decide, I feel this so strong, that he was going to focus on the character of Jesus and not focus on the concerns of critics. And that's what you're going to have to do in this season, because some of you are about to make a decision to change your whole life. In the middle of what you're doing, in the middle of going the wrong direction, you're about to repent. You're about to turn. I feel that thing so strong that some of y'all got plans to do stuff that you know goes against the will of God for your life, that you know that is going to hurt your family. And God said, this is going to be the time where you repent. And all that word means is turn. Somebody say turn. I feel a turn in this word. Somebody, your life, because you clicked on this live stream, because you're watching this rebroadcast, everything is about to turn. And the only way it can turn is if while you're in the middle, you focus on the character of Jesus and not the concerns of the critics. And you know, critics can be family members. Oh, you know, critics can be the very people that was in the club with you popping the bottles and doing everything else. Those will be the same people like, you have changed. What's wrong with you now? Oh, you holy, you hold. No. What you got to understand is that at some point, You have to make a decision that lines up with the purpose God sent you to earth for. And not for popularity for people. And Peter had to trust and focus his eyes on the character of Jesus and not the chattering of critics. And I just feel this so strong because somebody's about to make a decision that your whole family is not going to go with. But through your decision, through your desire to actually make it out of the middle, not just exist. Because y'all know this is the enemy's plan for families and generations. Some of y'all families can literally mark this. This was their dilemma. This was the deception. This is the decision. That's the death that happened. This is the dilemma. That's what happened to Big Mama. That's what the decision they made. And that's where death happened. And it's been cycles and years and generations of the same curses. Your mama was molested. And now you start feeling insecurity. Then you make a decision to find love in all the wrong places. And then you feel death and worthless and useful and useless. This is what I'm telling you right now. The enemy doesn't have new tricks, but right now I feel the faith of God rising up somebody, and we're gonna make different decisions in the middle. Somebody say, I'm making a different decision in the middle. Somebody say it one more time. I'm making a different decision in the middle. Pastor Mike, why are you preaching so passionately? It's because I've had conversations with people who felt like when they make the right decision, they were gonna get ostracized. And I wanna apologize. You know, this all came to life for me. Last year I had the opportunity to connect with my bro Kanye West, and I got to speak at the Sunday service in the Forum to a bunch of people. And when I was doing that, I was sitting there telling people about the good news of Jesus Christ in this huge arena that all these people have played in before. And they started singing this song called Hands On. And it convicted me. And I want you to look at the lyrics of this song, because it's one thing to be criticized by people who don't believe and people who don't have your best interest in heart. But it is a totally different thing to be criticized and ostracized and made to feel lower or less than by people who are supposed to be Christ followers. And many of you watching right now, you've stopped messing with God because of Christians. You stop having anything to do with the relationship you really need in your life because you are hurt by people. And that's why next week I'm doing a series that starts called Deliver Us From People. And I believe that there's going to be healing. And I want you to come back for that, because we're going to start talking about relationships. And I believe God is going to peel back the layers of your life. And you're going to be able to get free right there in your bedroom. I feel the presence of God on that. But they started playing these songs, and I want to put some lyrics up. It said I'm finna do a gospel album. What have you been hearing from the Christians? They'll be the first ones to judge me. Make it feel like nobody loved me. That is the deception of the enemy. To make you feel like when you make this decision, people who love God are gonna think that I'm not worthy enough. And then people who don't love God is just gonna think I'm weird. And this was the same thing he penned. He said, told people God was my mission. What have you been hearing from the Christians? They'll be the first one to judge me and make it feel like nobody loves me. This is what I want to do, and I want to be so sincere in this moment, because I don't know if I'll ever have your attention ever again. But right now in this moment, if you have ever been hurt by somebody that wears the badge of Christian, Christ follower, pastor, preacher, somebody who knows the Bible, if you've ever been hurt by them or you've been criticized by them, I want to apologize to you on behalf of every person who hurt you. And this is from my heart, because that hurt has kept you away from healing. And today I feel the Spirit of God coming to your home and coming to your life. And some of you have just thought, oh, they just want me for my money. Or this is, listen, anybody who has misused power or manipulated or done anything to make you feel like God is not who he is, and his character is good, and his character is love, and his character is for you, I want to say I'm sorry. Because that is not the character of our God. The character of our God is found in the scriptures when it talks to us in 2 Corinthians, I believe it is. Let's just go John 3:16. Let me make it very plain. Let me make it the most famous scripture. For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Everybody knows verse 16, but the character of God is revealed in verse 17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but he came to save the world through him. And if you have been held down because of anybody's criticism, right now I want to ask you, could you please just focus on the character of Jesus? And the reason why this is so real to me is because Michael has a middle too. I'm not just talking about old Bible characters, but right now, in this moment, I am dealing with the reality that hits my heart to the core. Some of you may not know this, but I'm going to go ahead and be hot, humble, open, and transparent, and be a real a man up here that happens to be a pastor. And I'm going to tell you that me and my wife right now, we have a son that has minimal verbal skills. He is 4 years old, and he has autism. And every day I wake up, and my son cannot verbally tell me what he wants to eat or what he wants to drink or what he wants to do, there's something in my heart that begins to penetrate. MJ is my namesake. I'm getting emotional right now because I know that every day that I wake up, I have to deal with that reality. No matter how many people get saved, no matter how many people fill auditoriums, no matter how much money I make, my reality is I want my son to be able to function in a way that he could support his life, and he can't at this moment. And the dilemma is that I teach faith to everybody else. So the dilemma is I have a reality that doesn't look like the resurrection. He is sitting in my face and I rock him to sleep every night. And my dilemma is I have to get up every week and tell everybody God can do it. God can make a way. I have to look at my wife when she's in the bed fighting depression off of her because to her thinking it's something that she did. And I have to say, no, God is still good. The dilemma is I have to teach and live something that is contrary of what I'm experiencing at this moment. And that is where the enemy tries to come in with deception. And he tries several times every week. He tries to make me feel like God can do miracles through me, but not do miracles for me. And I know this may not be your situation, but you can plug and play your situation in here. But for me, that's my reality. That's my dilemma. And that's my deception. But baby, I get to make a decision. And me and Natalie have made a decision. As for me and my house. Oh, I feel this thing. No matter what happens, no matter who comes, no matter what goes, no matter if he never speaks a whole sentence, I have made a decision that I will serve the Lord. It doesn't make the middle feel any better. It doesn't make the fact that after this, I'm going to go to his playroom and he's not going to even know I preached today. And all he's going to be looking for is love from his father. That doesn't make it any less real. But when I make the right decision, then there comes a death to some things. And see, my pride has died because of the decision that I've made. Like the enemy used to say, you can't tell nobody that. You can't do that. Oh, yeah, baby, I'm using everything. The Bible tells me I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the words of my own testimony. This is what we're really going through. And there's been some things. My pride has died here. My plan has died here. My preference has died here. And now when something dies, it creates an opportunity for God to do a miracle, for him to deliver, for him to do what seems impossible. And when there's death and deliverance, that's the only time it could be a resurrection. And I don't know what your reality is. I don't know what your dilemma is. I don't know what deception you have believed. But today I want you to know there's a decision you can make in the middle that can change everything. And the reason I know this is because your middle, Mary's middle, Peter's middle and my middle all have the same thing in common, that God stepped into our middle. See, some of you don't understand, but God was faced with the dilemma as well. The reality was, oh, I feel the presence of God, that in the garden, Adam and Eve made a decision that separated humanity from the Creator. And that was reality. Eden was shut down, like all your favorite clothing stores. That's why I'm glad everybody's at home on Easter, because we would be looking like a Target ad and a Walmart poster at this current moment right now. Okay? The reality was Eden was shut down and we were separated from God. And God had a dilemma. God was separated from us, but he wanted to be with us. And he said, there's no way, because I'm holy, that I can go and be with them unless there is a sacrifice that is made. And this is the thing that you need to know. I need you to write this down. God always makes a way in the middle. I feel this thing right now. No matter what your reality is, and no matter if it doesn't line up with the resurrection, no matter what your expectation was, and it has not lined up with your experience, no matter what's going on right now, God always steps from reality. Matter of fact, he steps from eternity. He ain't even on this. He's all around it. And he'll step into your dilemma. And he said, I'm not just going to stay here in this dilemma, because the enemy has been deceived. He think he won. The enemy thinks, and that's the same thing he thinks for your life, because you've been addicted to drugs. That's the same thing he thinks about your family, that he's won. I got him forever. And God said, the enemy really thinks that he has outmatched me, but one of my names is a matchless God. That means nobody can step to me. Not a sickness, not a disease, not diabetes, not coronavirus. He says, I have the name above every name. I'm the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one that sits on high but works in the details of my children's life. And he said, the deception is the enemy thought he won. But then God made a decision. And when God made a decision, he decided to send Jesus. I'm about to preach this thing right here. And when he sent Jesus to earth, he sent Jesus to earth so that me and you could have an ability to be back in right relationship with God. That's why 2 Corinthians 5:19 tells us that God was in Christ. So when he sent him, he was in Christ, and he was working through Christ to reconcile the entire world back to him. But the only way that this could work is that his decision to send Jesus had to move to a place of death. And that's why the cross is the symbol of our freedom. It's not just a medallion that we wear. It's not just something that we put on t-shirts and outside of churches. It's the symbol that represents your payment. The cross is your receipt for salvation. It's the thing that proves that God made a way in the middle. And that's why, as he sat there and took the scourging for us, as he sat there and had a crown of thorns put on his head, as he sat there and he let them abuse him. The Bible says that he could have called legions of angels to save him, but he saw you and he saw me addicted to pornography. And he said, if I don't die, they can't be delivered. If I don't take this death, they're going to live in it. And God didn't want that. And he made a way in the middle. And this is the thing I need everybody to see right now. Now it's your turn to make a decision. Are you going to live your entire life in the middle, not recognizing what God has done for you? Can I be very clear about how Jesus died? Whew, I feel the presence of God. When Jesus died, when I saw this in the Bible, it hit me. Because so many of us are dealing with so many dilemmas and deceptions. And now we're at the point where we got to make a decision. And the Bible tells us in Luke that Jesus literally died in the middle of two thieves. Literally, when I'm talking about in the middle, there's so much imagery and symbolism, and God was speaking to your situation all the way 2,000 plus years ago when he saw that you were in the middle of losing your house and keeping your family fed. You were in the middle of staying in this marriage or walking away from it. You were in the middle of two things that were trying to rob you. And they had an exchange in the middle. And one thief said in Luke 22:32, I believe it is, he was like, hey, aren't you the Son of God? Well, if you're the Son of God, why don't you save yourself? And while you're at it, why don't you save us? At that moment, that thief made a decision. Like some people, sad to say, that are watching this will make. That even though God is close to us, we're still not going to make a decision that could free us forever. And he said, I won't believe. I can't believe. You're dying here just like us. But then there was another man that had done the crime. Another man who was guilty. Another man who did do it. But he had a different perspective on what Christ was doing. He said, bro, don't you even understand and have the fear of God when we're sitting here and we're guilty for what we did? And the thing that you got to understand is we should have been in the place that Jesus was in. It was my sin. It was my addiction to pornography. It was my lying. It was my cheating. It was everything I did that put him on the cross. And in that moment, this man said, Jesus, hey, listen, I know I messed up a whole bunch, and I know there's a lot of stuff I need to explain, and I really don't even have time for that. Jesus doesn't need your explanation. He was there anyway. He saw it. He saw it happen. He said, but this one thing, could you, at this moment, at this last moment, I'm turning. I'm going to repent. I'm gonna go away from what I've been doing, and I'm going to turn to you. And I don't know if he was standing on this cross and he just literally just turned a little bit. I don't know if the life was sucked out of his body so much that he couldn't really do anything, but somehow he turned to God. And listen to Jesus' response on the cross. He literally says to him, he says, hey, today you'll be with me in paradise. Your decision to believe in me has changed everything in your life. And today I want to give you that exact opportunity. Because your decision in the middle right now, your decision of faith, and Jesus's commitment to death will produce the deliverance you need. When Jesus stretched out his hands, and they put nails in his hands and nails in his feet, he did it so that he could pay for everything you would do. And at this moment, I feel the presence of God coming into your homes, meeting you on your porch, meeting you wherever you are right now. And I want you to feel the love of God poured out through a man giving his entire life who did nothing just for you. But I messed up so many times, and you don't know how bad I really am. And God said, I knew it, and so I paid the ultimate death so that you could have ultimate freedom. And I don't know who you are, but the death of Jesus Christ was not worthless. This was the most expensive payment anybody could ever make. And he made it so that you could be delivered from shame, delivered from pain, delivered from lying, delivered from cheating, delivered from the hurt, delivered from the pain, delivered from the loss. And that's why we celebrate resurrection. I need to tell you something that if you don't remember anything that I say ever again, you need to remember this. The resurrection is not an event. The resurrection is an interruption. Anytime that God can interrupt your pain, that is a resurrection. Anytime you're in the middle of a situation that seems hopeless, God says, I will produce a resurrection and I'll interrupt it. Do you know that Jesus interrupted the enemy's plan. In the middle. Remember, it was Friday. Friday, the reality was he was in a tomb. And early Sunday morning, he rose. But do you know what he was doing in the middle? He was interrupting the plan of the enemy. The Bible tells us that he was in the belly of the earth. I feel the presence of God. And he was fighting, and he took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And he came back with all power so that you could live your life in a resurrection. I don't care what's broken in the middle. I don't care what's hurting in the middle. A resurrection is an interruption. And today, God wants to interrupt whatever lie you've believed. I don't care what reality you're facing right now. I don't care that you can't figure it out right now. God wants to meet you and make a way in the middle. I know this has presented some dilemmas, but there's a resurrection and God is ready to interrupt it. I know that you have believed the deception, but God's saying right now, there's a resurrection and I want to interrupt it. Today is your moment to make the greatest decision of your life. Pastor Mike, how do I do that? The Bible tells us all you have to do is call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. Can I be real, real with you? I struggle with what I was going to teach today because I wanted to go super deep and then I wanted to make people laugh and then I wanted to do all these other things, but God told me this moment is not about you or anybody else. This moment is about me getting to my children and letting them know that even with all of the mess, I still love them in the middle. And I don't know who that's for right now, but there's some person in this moment who's really feeling like God has forgotten about them. He hasn't. Matter of fact, he thought about you before you were even here. And that's why he sent Jesus. And today I want to give you the opportunity not to just live with your reality, live with the dilemmas, be tricked by the deception, make wrong decisions, have to see death in your purpose and family. I want to give you an opportunity to make a decision that brings deliverance. Wherever you are right now, I want to pray with you. I've never given an altar call sitting down before. I don't know. I feel like this is more personal. I feel like this is a moment where somebody's in a vulnerable place. And you've been searching for God in all the wrong places. And you thought if you got more and if you got in those connection groups and if you had the success or the house, somehow you would be fulfilled. And the truth is, there's a hole that you have in your heart that God can only fill. And until you invite him into that area, you make a decision to accept the way that God made for you in the middle of whatever you're going through right now. You'll always be searching. Today is the day where you make the greatest decision of your life. And I believe so firmly that this is your moment. This is your moment. Yes, you. I'm talking to you. This is your moment. If you want to accept Jesus Christ into your life, to be your personal Lord and Savior. This is not about being spooky and crazy. And this is the thing I need everybody to understand. God is so good that he accepts you with all your habits. See, some of y'all like, I got some stuff I got to clean up first. There's some stuff I need to change. And God says, if you give me your heart, I'll help you change your habits. If you give me what you have, I'm the only one that can make it what it will be. Today is your decision that changes everything. And you can't focus on the critics right now. You can't focus on them. This is the time you focus on the character of Jesus. Because my God always makes a way in the middle. If that's you, in your home, watching this at whatever time you're watching it, some of you are already crying tears and some of you are sitting in so much pride and your insides are shaking because it's saying, this is what we need. This is what we've been searching for. But you don't want to be a hypocrite and you don't want to have anybody talk about you. Listen, all that doesn't matter. See, the decision you're about to make right now is not just a decision for your eternity. It's a decision for your history too. And right now, God wants to come in, but you got to make the decision. If that's you right now, would you just lift your hands wherever you are? Come on, I don't care who's sitting around you. I could care less. Your life matters more than what people think about you. Right now, just lift your hand. If you're tired of doing it your way, just lift your hand. I want to pray for you. I feel the presence of God coming and invading people's lives right now. You're making that decision right now, and we're going to pray. And at Transformation Church, we pray all together. So I want everybody that's watching, every device, every person sitting around, every teenager, every child, I want you to pray this prayer with me, because I believe that total deliverance is happening even in this moment right now. Everybody say, God, thank you for sending Jesus and making a way in the middle just for me. Today, I give you my life. I turn from everything that's not like you, and I turn to you. God, heal me, deliver me, change me from the inside out. I accept the resurrection is now an interruption, and I give you my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Yo, if you just prayed that prayer, I need everybody to start clapping, because I know there are thousands of people. No, I need you to clap right now. In your house right now, there are thousands of people who just made a decision that changes everything in the middle. And what I'm telling you is right now, you need to know that you don't have to walk this alone. We don't want you to walk this alone. We want to help you. I want you to text the number that's on the screen right now. Text SAVE to this number, and we're going to help you. We're going to walk with you. And this is all I'm asking you. I'm begging you right now. Just keep coming back. Every Sunday, we're going to be here. Next week, I'm going to do a series called Deliver Me From People. And I'm telling y'all, y'all do not want to miss this. And then after that, we're going into a series called Relationship Goals Reloaded. And we're going to help your relationships get in place. I'm telling you, I want to walk with you. I want to be your coach. I want to be your guide. And we want to help you. We want to pray for you. We want to stand with you. We want to be real with you. We want you to know that the best days of your life are right in front of you. Thank you, Father, for what you did today. And God, thank you for what you did over 2,000 years ago. Thank you for standing in the middle for us. And God, today we worship you. This is not about an Easter bunny. This is not about eggs. This is about the way you made in the middle for each one of us. And today we call you who you are. You're a good father, and you're a way maker. You're a miracle worker. You're the light in the darkness. No matter how dark the middle gets, God, we can trust you right now. And today we make a decision that we will not stop in the middle. We won't let our deceptions be able to control our decisions, but we will call you who you are, and we will worship you in this moment. Can we do that right now? Can we call God who he is? Somebody say, Waymaker, miracle worker, promise. Come on, say, light in the darkness, my God, that is. Right now in your living room, I dare you to lift your voice and say, Waymaker, Waymaker, hey. Come on, lift it up. Promise. That's our God. He's lighting up. Woo, I feel the presence of God. Come on, I dare you to just get some faith in you. Come on, God's changing your situation. He's moving things around. In the middle, he's making a way. Somebody, you can get faith again. You can make it to tomorrow. And way make come on, somebody say.
Promise keep. never stop working. Never stop working. Woo! Even when I don't see that you're working.
Hey!
Even when I don't feel that you're working. You never stop working.
Come on, believe it right there.
Light in the darkness.
Listen, my God.
That is who you are.
It's changing right now. Say, Waymaker.
Waymaker.
Woo! I feel the presence of God there.
Promise keeper. Light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
I want to pray over you. And I want to pray that no matter what the middle brings you this week, that you're going to remember that your reality has a resurrection on the other side of it. No matter how it feels, no matter what the enemy tries to lie to you about, no matter the deception, you're going to make the right decision to focus on Jesus. And in that, he already took the death that we didn't have to take, and there's deliverance coming, and you will experience a resurrection. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for everybody that is watching right now. I declare that the best days of their life are right in front of them. I thank you, Father God, that everything is moving and changing towards purpose and destiny. And God, I ask you right now that every dark place, light it up. Every place, Father God, that they've been stuck in, interrupted. I declare and I believe that you are a way-making God. And today, Father, our lives, our destinies, and our families have changed. We stand firm on the anchor who is Jesus Christ, who stood in the middle for all of us so we didn't have to. And today, we give you glory, we honor you, and we tell the world that the resurrection was not an event, but it was an interruption. If you believe it, just shout unto God with a voice of triumph.
Thank you so much for watching this message. And if this has impacted you in any way, I'm asking you to do a couple of things. Number one, join Transformation Nation. Join us right here every Sunday. Gather your friends and your family and be a part of not just this moment, but this movement. The second thing I would ask you to do is share. Share this with your friends, your coworkers, people that are around you, because transformation is just one click away. The last thing I would ask you to do is partner with us financially. If this ministry is impacting your life, transforming you, I would ask you to consider, pray about what you could give to help us take this message to the whole world. I want you to know that we love you and your best days are right in front of you. This week, I want you to live a transformed life. See you next week.